Back in Parshat Ki Tetzé, we talked about last time the transition from Parshat Shoftim to Parshat Ki Tetzé is the movement from the national perspective. In Shoftim, we set up the leadership of Klal Yisrael and the systems of how that work, the systems of war on a national level. And then we move into Parshat Ki Tetzé. Ki Tetzé la milchama levecha is when you're going out to war against an enemy, but the discussion that really comes out of that is Yeshivat Torah. Is the struggles that the individual soldier has on the battlefield with his own Yetzer Hara. And so what Ki Tetzé does is it shifts us into what it means to be a part of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael as the individual as part of Klal Yisrael. It moves us from the Klal of Klal Yisrael to the individual in the context of Klal Yisrael. And so it goes through a lot, many, many, many detailed halachot. There are so many halachot in this parasha. And a lot of those halachot are incredibly personal. Issues of interpersonal relationships, marriage, divorce, rape, details of specifics of what to do when you're in business in this way, or what happens if you're, even when you're going out to war, about making your machane kadosh on very personal levels. Lashon hara, trusting in a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he's going to take care of you on a financial level, and how that relates to making sure that you leave the proper parts of your field for the poor, not to charge interest, having equal weights and measures, so many nitty-gritty details of life. What I want to do today, last year we focused on the opening three paragraphs of the Parsha, and actually which has become more frequent in these Shirim, is to try to get a clearer picture of the Parsha, not by looking at the opening of the Parsha, but rather by taking a look at the end. And the end of Parshat Ki Tetzé is the very, very famous paragraph in Chumash. Flip all the way to the back of Ki Tetzé. Perek Chafei Pasuk Yud Zayin. What do we have there? Parshat Zachor. What's the content of Parshat Zachor?
Amalek.
What about Amalek? We've seen Amalek before. What's new? What's the aspect that's being added here on a Devarim level? Mechiyat Amalek. Thank you. Wiping out Amalek. We saw Amalek before, previously in Parshat Bishalach. But as we talked about in the Shirim and Parshat Shoftim, the Devarim level of the discussion of Amalek is the practical application, the mitzvah of Mechiyat Amalek. The chiyuv to wipe out Amalek. Pasuk Yitzayim, Zachor et asher asa lecha Amalek baderach betzitcha b'mitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way when you left Mitzrayim. Asher karcha baderach, v'yizanev becha kol anecha shalim acharecha, v'ata ayif v'yageya, v'lo yirei Elohim. That he happened upon you on the way, and he struck those of you who were hindmost, meaning in the back, all the weaklings at the back, when you were faint and exhausted and did not fear Hashem. It shall be that when Hashem your God gives you rest from all your enemies all around, in the land that Hashem your God gives you as an inheritance to possess it, you shall wipe out the memory of Amalek from under the heavens, you shall not forget. The mitzvah of Mechiyat Amalek. A question that to me immediately arises based on the framework that we've presented is, what does the mitzvah of Mechiyat Amalek, what is that doing here? If we wouldn't have had the entire middle of the Parsha, then fine. What was the title of the Parsha? Ki Tetzé, La Milchama Elavechan. Who is that enemy? Well, so it turns out that enemy seems to be this more internal struggle. The last paragraph deals with literally going to war against our arch nemesis, which is Amalek, and the requirement to wipe out Amalek. But the actual content of the Parsha between the opening Psukim and the closing Psukim doesn't deal with wars at all. So in what way does Amalek wrap up Parshat Ki Tetzé? How does it even fit into Parshat Ki Tetzé? We said Ki Tetzé is all about these individual struggles. And there's no more national struggle than the requirement to wipe out Amalek, which we defined in Sefer, in Parshat Shoftim, from the Rambam in Hilchot Melachim, that one of the stages to fulfilling our goal in Eretz Yisrael is to appoint a king to wipe out the nation of Amalek so we can build the Beit HaMikdash. So on the surface, it almost seemed like it belonged here, but then when we go through the parasha, it seems like it doesn't belong here at all. We're back to national issues. So what's the inyan here of coming up, of wrapping up this parasha with the concept of Mechiyat Amalek? So let's go back to the origins. Let's retread some concepts that we've seen before in Parshat Bishalach, where Amalek first emerges, and see the implications for how it applies here in Parshat Ki Tetzé. The first time that Amalek appears is in Parshat Bishalach. Shmot, Perek Yud Gimel. We have the end of Yitziat Mitzrayim. We finish coming out of Mitzrayim. And the whole beginning of the parasha and dealing with the conclusion of Yitziat Mitzrayim talks about what issue, what topic? It's not like hidden. The beginning of Parshat Bishalach in dealing with the conclusion of Yitziat Mitzrayim focuses singularly on... Everybody open up to Parshat Bishalach. If you were there, there wouldn't even be a question. Thank you. Kriyat Yamsuf is the conclusion of Yitziat Mitzrayim. We deal exclusively with Kriyat Yamsuf, and the conclusion of Kriyat Yamsuf is... The conclusion of Kriyat Yamsuf is... Thank you, Shirat Hayam. When we get out of the other side of Yamsuf, the conclusion of Kriyat Yamsuf, the expression of our experience, of our internalization of Kriyat Yamsuf is Shirat Hayam. And so we come out of the Yamsuf and we as a nation stand there on the waters. We see the dead bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the shore. They're signaling to us the end of Mitzrayim. Hence, one of the layers of the meaning of the name Yam Suf. Suf Milashon. Sof. It's the end of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim has come to an end. They've stopped. And at that moment, we have tremendous clarity as we come to the height of Yitziat Mitzrayim and the height of Pesach, what will later become Pesach. And we have the greatest vision that ever was in Shirat Hayam. A shifcha on the yam, Chazal tell us, saw more than the greatest vision that there ever was, Masa Merkava. They see with clarity God. Vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe avdo. They come to a full place of emuna, which we've talked about many times in the past, what emuna really means. A full place of emuna, of that connectivity, of that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, faithfulness, a real connection with both Moshe as God's emissary, and God Himself, Vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdo, Az Yishir Moshe v'Nei Yisrael. And they have this incredible vision of why we're here, what we're doing, and eventually the end of Az Yishir is where we're headed. We've mentioned this before in a few shiurim ago, that Az Yishir culminates in Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yadecha. We see Beit HaMikdash, that's the ultimate goal, is to bring about a reality of Beit HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael. And then the final pasuk, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Va'ed, God's rulership of the world is fully realized for eternity. It comes out that God was ruling the world the entire time, but a clarity of the fact that God rules the world, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Va'ed, that's where it ends, with Beit HaMikdash and a Giloy V'Kadosh Baruch Hu. In Az Yashir, we have a tremendous moment of inspiration. We talked about this in Parshat Bishalach. That the Parsha technically should have ended there. Had Parshat Bishalach ended at that point, we wouldn't have been surprised. Especially when we then look forward into the second half of Parshat Bishalach, and it's basically a train wreck. And it's a train wreck that on the surface seems to contradict everything that we've just accomplished. We have this incredible vision. We see the end. We see greater than Maaseh Merkava. We see Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. We then walk out. And 3 days later, we're already making our next complaint. The water's bitter. What are we going to do? We have nothing to drink. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, go and take a tree and put it into the water and it will become sweet. Okay. What happens next? We want food. We have nothing to eat. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, fine. You know what? I hear I'm going to give you man. Hineni mamtir lachem lechem min hashamayim. I'm literally going to have bread rain, that somehow got conjoined, we're going to have bread rain down on your heads. Food will literally fall out of the sky. And the only thing you have to do is follow these two commands. Whatever you do, when I let that man fall from the sky, don't leave anything over until the morning. So what do we immediately do? We leave it over till the morning. God says, okay, whatever, fine. Shabbat's coming. Make sure to take an extra portion of man. Take 2 on Friday. So that way you don't go out, because you're not allowed to go out and gather on Shabbat. There will be nothing there. Don't go out and gather on Shabbat. Which is, by the way, where we get Lecha Mishnah from. And so, of course, Shabbat morning comes and we all go to shul, right? No. What do? Look for man. Kadosh Baruch Hu's furious. And we struggle. We get past that. What happens next? It's all part of the same paragraph. We then struggle with the Kadosh Baruch Hu again over water, but this one goes even worse than the last time.
Why did you take this out?
It's phrased differently, and the phraseology is important. We struggle with God, and that place becomes called Masa Umiriva. Seat inside, because this is what leads into Amalek. Perek. Yud-Zayin. Perek Yud-Zayin. Pasuk. Zayin, the end of the paragraph. Vayikrashim makom masa umiriva. The place was called masa umiriva. Al riv b'nei Yisrael. Because of the contention of b'nei Yisrael. V'al nasotam et Hashem lemor hayish Hashem bekirbenu im ayin. And because of their test of Hashem, saying, is Hashem amongst us or not? Hayish Hashem bekirbenu im ayin. Possibly one of the most painful questions in all of Chumash. And it's that question which then leads to the next pasuk. Speaking of smichut ha-parshiyot, which we talked about last time, Rashi says that one leads to the other. That it's that doubt, it's that questioning, that painful questioning of, is God really amongst us? Ayesh Hashem bikirbenu imayim. Next pasuk, vayavo Amalek. That's what brings about a reality of Amalek. Amalek, which many of the mafarshim point out, that Amalek shares the same gematria, the same numerical value as Safik. That Amalek is a manifestation of the doubt that exists in life. That doubt is what gives rise to Amalek. It's what gives life to Amalek. Is when we doubt. When we ask, Hayesh Hashem Yikabinu Imayim. And so we battle Amalek for the first time in that Parsha. And all of the issues of Yehoshua that we've talked about coming back in, and why Yehoshua suddenly comes in, because this is going to be something which is relevant to Eretz Yisrael. And he's the one who's going to be taking us into Eretz Yisrael, whether he knows it or not at the time. The end of the parsha, Parshat Bishalach, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Dalet, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Ketov Zot Zikaron BaSefer. Write that down as a remembrance in the book. V'Sim BeOznei Yehoshua. Again, somehow, oddly, yes, no, but seems to be foreshadowing the fact that Yehoshua is going to be the one who's going to take them to Eretz Yisrael, even though we don't have that information yet. But it's interesting that it's Dafka BeOznei Yehoshua. Ki Macho Emchet Zikar Amalek Mitachat HaShemayim. And that I shall surely erase the memory of Amalek from under the heavens. Again, this is God talking. He's not yet giving us a command to do it. That comes in Devarim. Vayiven Moshe Mizbeach, Vayikra Shemo Hashem Nisi, Vayomer Ki Yad Al Kiska Milchama LaHashem BaAmalek Midor Dor. And it defines for us that the war with Amalek will be for all generations. Now, this end to the Parsha, again, is very odd. We have this incredible movement of the Parsha, where we start off, and everything's going up, we're going up, we're going up, we're having this amazing, enlightening experience, we're having this inspirational experience, it's awesome! Yetziat Mitzrayim, Kriyat Yam Suf, the Egyptians are wiped out, and here we have Az Yashir. The pinnacle, the peak. And again, you'd want the Parsha to end there, and then immediately the Parsha drops. It drops. And it drops in the worst possible way, because what did we say that we accomplished at Az Yashir? We say it every morning in Tefillah, and lead up to Az Yashir, the pasuk that leads into Az Yashir. What's the pasuk? Vayaminu ba'Hashem v'Moshe Avdo. They came to a place of pure emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have faithfulness in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we've talked about how emunah means faithfulness, not belief in, faithfulness. I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be faithful to me. The entire rest of the parsha contradicts that. God, the water's bitter. Are you going to take care of me or not? God, there's no food. Are you going to take care of me or not? God, you said not to keep anything over for tomorrow, but I'm a little bit worried. Because are you really going to rain bread down from the heavens tomorrow? And if you don't, I mean, I want to make sure that I keep a little man left over because I need to eat for tomorrow. And if there is man tomorrow on Shabbos and I don't take it, I'm crazy because what if there's not man on Sunday? And there's no water again. Culminating in that painful pasuk, where we actually verbalize it. We go from Vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Avdo in the same parsha to Hayesh Hashem b'Kirbeinu im'ayim. It's an incredibly dramatic fall. And the two things are polar opposites. Emunah is faithfulness, and we're coming to a place of saying, is God really amongst us or not? A complete lack of sense of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's going to be here with us. Is he here at all? I can't see him, I don't know, and suddenly I'm worried, and we give rise to Amalek. The embodiment of that doubt. The opposite of Az Yashir. What happened? So we learn this in Parshat B'Shalach, and these lessons will come into play in terms of how they play out in Ki Tetzeh as well. That so often we make the mistake, and I've talked about this in a few shirim previously, maybe in Shir Kali also, that we as educators fail you miserably in this regard, which is that we often strive to help create for you moments of inspiration. And there are schools of thought in education right now that entirely revolve around trying to create moments of inspiration for students. Because we recognize that those are the things that are the most impactful. Because there's nothing in education like seeing that moment of inspiration on a student's face. And if we think back in our lives, we can probably can you remember those moments of inspiration where you had that flash, where everything made sense? You have those memories? Do you remember where you were? What was going on? What brought that about? Those moments of inspiration are incredibly powerful. And where we fail educationally is in preparing you all, preparing ourselves for the fact that that's only the beginning, that's never the end. The way that it's talked about in the Sfarim, inspiration is a gift. Inspiration is something that we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a gift. That moment of clarity is unearned. And when we go there and try to think to ourselves, how did I get to that moment of inspiration? How do I get back there? What were the factors? What was the impossible chemistry, the alchemy, the theological alchemy that came together to bring me to that moment of inspiration? And how do I recreate that moment to keep it with me? We're asking the wrong question. The answer is we didn't do anything. Inspiration is a gift. When we get that moment of inspiration, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, here is the end goal, exactly like he does in Az Yashir. He says, I'm showing you the end goal. I am letting you experience a taste of the end right now. I'm letting you experience the taste, a little bit of the destination right now. Because your job now, after that, when that inspiration goes away, now that I've told you what point B is, what the destination is, you know where you are, but you didn't know where you were going. and I've given you a moment of inspiration and showed you here's point B. Now it's your job to figure out how to get from point A, where you are, how you get to point B, because now you know where point B is. Now you need to go through the painful process of earning that which you experience, making it your own. Being a Baal, being an owner of that which you experience, making it yours, making it real. It's not real in that moment of inspiration. Inspiration is a gift. And inspiration will always disappear. And that's not a bad thing. Because we don't want things for free. We don't want our clarity in this world to be for free. We don't want our Avodat Hashem in this world to be for free. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show us with clarity, Mikdash Hashem, Konuni Yadecha, Hashem, Yilok Olam Ve'ed, and now go out and earn it. You now know what it means to feel that Emunah, make that Emunah part of you every day. And the Torah tells us it's a hard, long road. It's a difficult and complicated road to really make it your own. It's particularly relevant. Normally I wouldn't have taken it to this place, but we're literally here right now. The majority of Yetziat Mitzrayim takes place in what Parsha? Bo.
If Bo equals Yetziat Mitzrayim, what Parsha do we see with the Torah in? And Yitro equals Matan Torah. How many parts are there between Bo and Yitro? One single parsha, Bishalach. Bishalach, therefore, on a narrative level of the cycle of the year, equals Sfirat HaOmer. Fascinating, no?
If you want to look at the earliest biblical origin of what Sfirat HaOmer really is on a philosophical level, on a thematic level, the answer is go to Parshat Bishalach. And recognize that the road to Matan Torah, you know, so many people, the question often comes up like, it's supposed to be a happy time. We're getting from Pesach to Shavuot. Why are there issues of mourning? Why is there struggle? Why do we have Minhagei Avelut now? Because this time is hard. Because if you actually look at Parshat Bishalach, the road from Yitziat Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, from Pesach to Shavuot, is fraught with difficulty. And that's reflected in how this farm discussed what Pesach is all about. Pesach is a gift. The discussions of what Pesach is all about, where all of the gates open up. All of the gates open up. And on Pesach night, on Seder night, Pesach, we're able to jump levels. We're able to achieve inspiration of things we haven't earned. Pesach means to pass over. One layer of meaning of Pesach is, I'm jumping over, I'm skipping levels. To great heights. But be very careful, warn the same Sfarim, because what's going to happen the next day? You're going to fall flat on your face. And we have Yom Tov Shein Shagaliot. That's a fabrication of Galut. In Eretz Yisrael, how many days of Yom Tov do you have, Yom Tov Rishon? One. So when do you start Sfirat HaOmer? Motzei, first day, Pesach. When those gates close. Then you go through the painstaking process of Sfirat HaOmer. What is Sfirat HaOmer? Sfirat HaOmer is the process not of jumping. It's really spor. You're counting. You're going step by step, stage by stage, painfully working through every single level to earn your road to Matan Torah. To earn the journey to get to that destination. What Sfirat HaOmer requires of us, what Parshat Bishalach requires of us, is to recognize that after that moment of inspiration comes, we have to expect the fall. As much as we prepare, giving another example, as much as we prepare for Yom Kippur, we have to prepare for the day after Yom Kippur, and we don't do that. There's nothing more challenging than spending a day like a malach, like an angel, wearing white, with your feet together half the day, standing in tefillah, reaching a fevered pitch, screaming out when you have no energy left, but you find it. Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, Hashem Hu Elokim, seven times, and singing and dancing with no koach left, and then you wake up the next morning and it's Tuesday. Now what? Where do I take Yom Kippur? Where do I take Yetzias Mitzrayim? We have to be prepared for the fact that those moments are there in order to give us potential to recognize that those moments of inspiration are moments of inspiration. And then we have to work to earn it, and that's a challenge. Because we have to take that vision, that Shirat Hayam, this broad vision that exists up there, this vision that's totally unearned, as is indicated by the way that Chazal frame it. Who saw that vision on the Yam? We've talked about this before. How does the Chazal phrase it? Who saw the vision on the Yam? The Shifcha. What should Chazal have called her? What was she having at that moment? She was having Nivuah, and that makes her a Nivia. Why is she called the Shifcha? She's having the greatest vision that ever was. Why is she a Shifcha? So they point out the fact that there's a disparity. She is still a Shifcha. Who's receiving Nivuah? Is she deserving of Nivuah? No. There's a disparity between the experience, between the inspiration, and where the person is. And now the Shifcha has to claw her way up to get to that place. The experience of inspiration doesn't change a person. It gives us an opportunity of what to strive for. And what we go through the rest of B'Shalach is to now we're tasked with living that emuna in life. It was great that we just had this incredible experience, but 3 days later when that memory starts to fade and the water's a little bitter, do I still have faith in God? I don't know the timeline here, but we're a week into the desert and my matzah's running out. Am I really going to have faith that every single day for the next, we don't know that we're going to be in the desert 40 years yet, for the next X number of months, that God is really day in and day out going to just drop food out of the sky? When the water dries up again, am I sure that God's really going to bring it back? That's the application. That's the work to earn real emuna in everyday life. And we fail and we fall. Because milchama lehashem ba'amalek midor dor. The battle with Amalek, the battle with that self-doubt, the battle against the question of hayesh Hashem bikirbeinu im ayin is eternal. That's the war that takes us to the end of days. And so we come to Parshat Ki Tetzé. And all of these lessons come back. Parshat Shoftim gave us this incredible, beautiful vision of how to create a society with leaders who are infused with a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of bringing about Ratzon Hashem into the world, a society in Eretz Yisrael at HaMakom Asher Yivchar that we define in Parshat Re'eh. Ki Tetzé LaMilchama Elavecha, now we have to go out and fight that war. It's interesting to me, again, we never actually define any particular war. What's the implication then of the war that we're going to fight in Parshat Ki Tetzé? The true fight of Eretz Yisrael. Am I going to see godliness in everything or not? Now comes the hard part. After everything, all of these amazing, beautiful ideas, and these big picture musar that we got in Parshat Devarim, Parshat Vetchanan, Parshat Ekev. Do you remember months ago when we talked about those huge, amazing, big themes? How God runs the world. What is Eretz Yisrael? How beautiful is Eretz Yisrael? HaMakom Asher Yivchar, God take us wherever you want to take us, I'm just going to follow you. Just like Avraham, wherever God takes me, I'm going to go. All these big ideas. Now we've come to Eretz Yisrael Ki Tetzé LaMilchama Elavecha. When you go out to fight that enemy, the enemy in Parshat Ki Tetzé may perhaps not be the enemy without, but it's the enemy within. The true struggle of the application of a recognition of godliness in every aspect of my life. How do the two line up? The same way that it does in Parshat B'Shalach. Every single time that B'nai Yisrael go out to war, every time they're attacked from an enemy from the outside, why do we get attacked from an enemy? Why do we get attacked by an enemy? Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to show us something's wrong. And the only way that we can have an enemy penetrate into Bnei Yisrael is if that enemy is going to be a reflection of the failings, of the lackings that we have at that moment. When we go out to fight against Bavel, and we experience Galut Bavel, there's something wrong with us on a Bavel level. When we fight Prasu Madai in the Purim story, you read the first few paragraphs, we were struggling with Prasu Madai. We were at the party in the king's palace. In when we fought Greece, we had Mit Yavnim. We were struggling with what Yavan is. We lost so many Jews with the rise of Christianity and the coming of Edom. And the fight against Western society and Western values up until this very day. When we're fighting external enemies, we're fighting an internal space as well. Our external battles always mirror our internal state. And so we go out and we fight and we fight and we fight and we fight and we fight. And there are many battles to fight to get a clarity of what it means to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, what it means to be a Jew, what it means to live as a Jew. By combating literal external enemies and the internal enemies that are a reflection of them. Fighting to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in every single detail of our lives. And there are beautiful psukim in this parsha that bring that out. But when I was going through, I didn't even put it all together. I was just underlining as I was going through stuff ideas that jumped out. But you take a look at some of the psukim here that emphasize these types of points. Again, coming back, this whole concept is just so striking. I guess I'm sort of stuck on it. The concept of when you go out to war that you have to bring along with your weapons, you have to bring a shovel in order to make sure that there's a sense, even when you're standing there in war, that you're focused on making sure. V'haya machanecha kadosh. V'lo yirevecha arvatavar v'shav me'acharecha. Going forward, don't you dare charge interests. Pasperek chafgimo pasukhaf. Lo tashikh la'achicha neshech. Pasukhaf aleph. Why? Why shouldn't you charge interest? What will happen? Don't take charges from your fellow Jew. Those two things are contradictory. Don't charge interest so that you see a tremendous increase in your monetary wealth. So you see bracha on everything that you do. Why are those two things opposite? Because had I just charged interest, then I was guaranteeing myself monetary growth. Why wouldn't I charge interest? What's the question? Do you believe that you're going to get yourself the money that you want? Or that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give it to you? Do you believe that if you don't charge interest, God will still take care of you? That's an internal struggle. And a recognition that the world doesn't work in that way. It works by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even if it becomes challenging, will you live up to your word? Pasuk Chav Gimel. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Make sure that everything that comes out of your mouth you stand up to. It may be challenging sometimes, but if you say it, live it. Same ideas here again with shichacha, issues of leaving things behind in your field. Perek chavdale pasuk yutet. He tiksor kitzircha basadeh v'shachachta omer basadeh. Lo tashuv lakachta lager le'yotov v'amna yeh lema'an yivarechecha Hashem elokecha b'chol ma'asei yadecha. When you reap your harvest in your field and you forget a bundle in your field, you shall not turn back to take it. It shall be for the proselyte, the orphan, and the widow, so that Hashem your God will bless you in all your handiwork. If you dropped something in your field that you could have made money on, and you do what you're supposed to do, and you leave it for the poor, you leave it for the orphan, I will guarantee you that you will see so much more bracha than if you go back and illegally take back that thing that you dropped. Down to how you do business. Perhaps the place where one of the deepest places where we so often forget God. Pasuk Yud Gimel, the paragraph that leads into the paragraph about Amalek. Lo yelecha bekischa even va'aven gdola uktana. You shall not have a pouch and a weight and a weight. You shall not have in your pouch a weight and a weight, a large one and a small one. What is this about large and small weights? Measures. What is that? How did that work? Exactly. That was how you determined the value of something. A weight was supposed to have a specific amount of weight, and you would put gold or silver or other things on the opposite side, and that's how you would know how much things were worth. If you have a large stone and a small stone, that means that you could switch them up and trick somebody into giving you more or paying them less. Don't have two weights. Don't play games. Lo yelecha beveitcha eifa va'eifa, gdola v'ktana. You shouldn't have in your house a measure and a measure, a large one and a small one. Same idea. Even shlema v'tzedek yelach, eifa shlema v'tzedek yelach. A perfect and honest weight shall you have. A perfect and honest measure shall you have. Why? L'ma'an ya'arichu yamecha al ha'adamar she'ashem anotecha noten lach. That's what will keep you in this land. It's a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in all of the details. Ki to'avat Hashem Elokecha kolo se'eila kolo se'avel. For it is an abomination of Hashem your God, all who do this, all who act corruptly. Do we bring God the fight of life that we see already from the beginning of Klal Yisrael as Klal Yisrael? Do we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in every detail of life, or do we wonder, Hayesh Hashem bikirbeinu im ayin? And that's why the end of this Parsha is phrased as such. That's why Amalek is at the end of the Parsha, and that's why it's, again, the wording is specific. Zachor et asher asalach Amalek. Remember what Amalek did with you, baderech, on the way when you left Mitzrayim. Asher karcha baderech. And Rashi gives a triple shot here. Karcha cooled you down. Took you from that place of heated inspiration and tried to cool you down. Asher karcha milashon mikre. What are you talking about? There's no significance. It was all happenstance. Life is random, not full of meaning. Milashon keri, tum'ah, which we talked about in these parshiot in last week's parsha. Tazria mitzora, achrei mo kedoshim, issues of tum'ah, blockages of cutting us off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher karcha baderech. V'yizanev becha kol anecha shalim achareka v'atayif v'yageh, you became tired and worn out. V'lo yarei Elokim. Which could be understood in a simple shot as you no longer feared God, or how else could you understand it? How else could you understand it? You didn't see him. You were no longer able to see God in the details of life. And therefore, V'haya b'haniach Hashem Elokecha lecha mikol oivecha misaviv. Hear the words. It shall be when Hashem your God gives you rest from all of your enemies all around. When do we have that fight with Amalek? What did that pasuk say? When is the fight with Amalek? After that. What? Not all the time. It defines the time. After the derech. Derech shir is another shir. Which is what? When? Not when Hashem is resting with you. When you have rest from all of your enemies, implying what? When is the battle of Amalek? What? Not every day. Afuch. B'haniach Hashem Elokecha. Only when? Only when you've gone out and conquered all of your enemies. The last battle to be won. The battle as we defined it from the Rambam in terms of the scope of history of Melech, Mechiyat Amalek, Beit HaMikdash. The final battle, once God has given you rest from all battles, you've fought all the battles that there are to fight, what is the last battle that we're going to have to fight? What is the battle at the end of days? The final battle that we fight, the Milchama LaHashem BaAmalek, is Midor Dor, till the end of all time. That's the final battle. We go out and fight our enemies. But then once all of those enemies have stopped, what is that final battle? It's the battle of Kitetze. It's the battle of seeing God in every aspect of life. Of never forgetting that God is a part of everything that we do. That He's in those weights and measures. That He's in our fields. That He's a part of our interpersonal relationships. That He's part of how we build our house. That He's part of how we speak. That He's a part of every single piece of our lives. Because if there is any detail of life that is outside of the scope of my Jewish life, of my Jewish living, if there's any detail, then I've yet to wipe out Amalek. Parshat Kitetze is all of these details, because if there's a single detail that's Bimikre, that's Keri, that's Kar, then I'm still fighting Amalek. Then I'm still on the Derech. Then I haven't yet arrived. And we come to that final battle. And we wipe out Amalek. That's the final battle. And to me, that also makes so much more powerful the last words of the Parsha in the context of the Parsha. What are the last words of the Parsha taking, without even looking at the Amalek piece? What are the last words? Lo tishkach, lo tishkach. The battle of life is to not forget those moments of inspiration. It's to not forget the godliness that's in everything. That's the battle against Amalek. To remember, to wipe him out, and lo tishkach. Don't remember those important moments and bring them into life. That's Kitetze. And then, Be'ezrat Hashem, once we've fought that final battle with Amalek, right? Mazda Kitetze. Why does one go out? When one leaves the door of one's house, why does one leave the door of one's house, ideally? Assumably. I'm leaving to go and accomplish something. I was doing just fine in the house. The world's a scary place. I'm going out to do something. I'm going out to accomplish something. And what we're going out to accomplish over the course of history is Mechiyat Amalek. And once I finally do that, once I've gone out in the deepest possible way and found in the entire world, in my entire existence, godliness, then what can happen? Then what can finally happen? On a narrative level, the Haya Kitavo. And that bridges us to the next parasha. Then I can come back. Then I can come in. Then I can finally come and rest. Then I can come up into Parshat Kitavo and understand what it means then to live in that reality after having conquered and accomplished everything that I've set out to do. Having had that inspiration, worked to earn it, found it in every aspect of life, completely wiped out Amalek. Now finally Kitavo. And somehow that Kitavo means... now, finally, I can bring Bikurim. My Nyan Shel Bikurim. Why is that the definition of Kitavo? So that we'll discuss Bezrat Hashem on Monday. What we leave for today is this very powerful concept, and again, particularly relevant to this time of year. This is the struggle of Sfirat HaOmer. It's to look at every aspect of our lives and every aspect of ourselves. And to wipe out that question of Hayesh Hashem Rekavenu Imayin, to see God in everything. To build ourselves as people who see the godliness in everything, who earn the inspiration we've experienced. And Bezrat Hashem, through fighting for that, tooth and nail, fighting for that, bringing such a clarity of godliness into our lives, that we can get to a place of rest, get to a place of Kitavo, and again, Bezrat Hashem, then get to a place of Bikurim, which we'll discuss in Yirtzeh Hashem on Monday. Shkoach, everybody.